Blog Talk Radio.
Class is in. It's time for Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Sit back, relax, learn, and listen. Pick up the phone and get involved in the conversation. 858-357-9137. Listen and learn who you are. Learn the true history of how society was physically built. Learn the history of who you really are. Learn the history of your people. It's Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence through history. Being sponsored by the United Theological Seminary and Bible College, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. To everyone, good evening to you and God bless you. I've always said it's both a privilege and an honor to give this presentation, The Origin of Man, and from a biblical perspective. But before we go into our lecture this evening, there are some current events that are going on right now from the pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic, to the Voting Rights Acts that being stepped on by in Georgia and in Texas, where they passed laws to hinder the Voting Rights Act, to our young African-American men again being killed on the streets of the United States, no respect for the African-American race, while police go on touch. George Floyd trial, where Officer Chauvin is being tried today, and I saw them bring on supposed to be a professional witness who I could have just regurgitated. I could have thrown up just listening at the lies that he went, he practiced how to take up for Chauvin, say he didn't see anything, he went wrong. After all the police who were, who in Minnesota police who worked with him, said it was not their procedure and that he was wrong. Even their boss said that he was wrong. And all the other professionals, the doctors and the partners and many, many others said what all was done was wrong. This guy came back and the prosecutor just had to look off when he asked him questions. You could see he purposely was trying to take his time. And by what I'm saying purposely take his time, he was taking his time to try to answer the question because he couldn't tell the truth, so he had to think of how could he answer it to be on Mr. Chauvin's side, Officer Chauvin's side. And I thought it was just horrible that you could watch something on television and see this man killing another man and don't find something wrong with it, or you can condone it. And those individuals, the jurors and those individuals who are watching this and condone this, you're the reason why blacks are still being killed on the streets today. I was just thinking, and this is only a drop in the bucket, I was thinking of all the blacks that had been killed. I remember when Sandra Bland went looking for a job and they said she was hung in the jail cell. I remember Eric Garner was loose cigarettes. And he was choked to death. Trayvon Martin on his own from buying some Skittles and a tea. Watching the basketball game, I think, and going back, and he was killed after the police told Zimmerman to stay in his automobile, and he got out. Now, nothing had been done about Sandra Bland or Eric Garner or Trayvon Trayvon Martin.
Yeah.
And then Liv Breonna Taylor.
Yeah.
Breonna Taylor was shot in her own apartment. Her boyfriend heard someone kick the door in. And he shot through the door, and the police broke in a no-knock warrant and kicked the door in, came in, and shot the place up, killing Breonna. Come to find out they was at the wrong house. They were not looking for Breonna nor her boyfriend, but she died, and no one has been charged with her death. Then you have Sean Reed. Then you have Manuel Ellis. You have Antoine Ross. You have Michael Brown. You remember Michael Brown was walking with his hands up and he was killed. Victor White right here in Louisiana. And now I want you to pay close attention to this. There's Jamal Clark was killed. He's from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Dante Wright, and we're going to get to Dante Wright last. But all and you know George Floyd, he was killed. All these was in Minnesota. And we had Alton Sterling, he was killed in Louisiana. And Dallas is both of them, Shima Jean. You remember when the police lady went into this guy's apartment, said, thinking it was hers, and went in the apartment, and she killed a guy. But her story is she went in the wrong apartment. She thought she was in her apartment. I want to know what drug she was on. How they vilify every person name who I've called. They vilified them, made them look like they were the worst individuals in the world because the police killed them. And they didn't have a weapon on them. Not one had a weapon on them. Now we're going through George Floyd's trial. And we've been able to see this trial and see everything, the horror, what this young man suffered at the hands of the police. But yet there are many people, and it will not surprise me if they can't convict him. And it's not because the evidence is there, because some reason white America, with the racist and bigotry, never can see the wrong that a white person do, or the police, because it's not perpetrated against them or their kind. Anything that an African American do, they tell that they had a drug problem, they had a run-in with the police, or they were put out of school because they had some rolling papers, some, you know, drug paraphernalia on them or something. But they were disobedient, wouldn't listen to the teacher at school, and they had to be put out of school. So there's something, so they vilify these African American, maybe male and female, and try to vilify them. And so that they'll think negative, but they're not on trial for their past deeds. They're not on trial for something they done. It's the person that killed them is on trial. They never like to go back in the record of that person who did the killing, but they always want to vilify the person that was killed so that it would be okay that person's life was taken. And it really, really hurts me that this is going on. Like right now, 22-year-old Dante Wright. Now, don't get me wrong. He was driving, and they claim he had something over the rear view that was obstructing his view. One time the police said that. Then they said he had warrants for his arrest. And, okay, he had warrants for his arrest. And both of them were misdemeanor. Misdemeanor possession of marijuana. Misdemeanor possession of a firearm. None of them were felonies where he would have to do a lot of time. But when they stopped him, they really stopped him for the wrong reason. And then when he tried to get back in the car, that even though he was fleeing from them, they were not supposed to shoot him. They knew who he was. They had his license plate. They know who he was, because when they stopped him, they found out that he had warrants for his arrest. All they had to do was go to his house. But this lady says she thought she was pulling her taser and it was a firearm. First thing I want you to understand, and you could Google it and find out, a taser is a different color from a firearm. That was done by the police code, so that mistake were never made. The next thing is the taser handle is smaller. It looks different, and it's even lighter than a regular pistol. If you would just Google or whatever you want to look it up, how a police taser look as compared to a Glock, 9mm Glock or whatever they're using today, you'll find out that this is different. And now after she killed this guy, or she knowingly killed him, she comes up with the poor excuse that she thought she was drawing her taser. Now she's been on the force 20 some odd years, but she's been on the force, and before this could even get started, her police commander or chief came up and said it was an accidental death. She thought she was tasing him. Please, you know a taser from a handgun. I'm not a police. I know a taser from a pistol. Anybody ever take a look at a taser and tell you there's no way? And then a taser supposed to be on one side, and the pistol should be on the other. And the taser maybe is going to be yellow. The taser has to have some color to it so you can differentiate. So many things that are going on today. And even just coming out, this happened back in December. This happened in December where Lieutenant Karen Nasriel was arrested. He's a lieutenant, and they said they didn't have a reason for stopping him. They say they didn't see his license plate. Now he's suing the police department. He's a lieutenant in the Army, fighting for this country, riding down nothing but these police on the side in Virginia, see this gentleman riding down in his new vehicle. Now, the license plate is always taped to the back windshield when you buy a new vehicle. It's taped to his windshield. He's riding down the highway, so he's on a dark road. So when the police spot him, they put their signal light. You're trained, if you are afraid to have any apprehension about stopping, you drive to the nearest most well-lit place. And so he drives to the service station and told them for about a mile. They say he wouldn't pull over. He did pull over. He didn't speed away. He drove the speed limit and proceeded to what all people are told to do today. If there's any apprehension towards who's stopping you, to drive to a well-lit area. This guy does that, okay? And Cameron, he drives, Lieutenant Cameron, he drives, and when he gets there, he want to know why they stopping him and what he had done. Now, they say they were stopping him because he didn't have a license plate, but the license plate was on the back window, was on the back rear mirror. That's where it was. It was on the rear mirror. And so, and not the rear mirror, but the rear window. Like they always, you tape when you buy a vehicle, they tape it on the rear mirror. But they still tased him and, you know, harassed him because he only wanted to know why was this stopping him. He hadn't did anything. And this is what happened. And I would just like to say this tonight before we just go off into our history talk. These things have been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's time for this kind of thing to come to an end. It's really, really time that this stuff come to an end. I mean, you know, things like this have been going on too long. You know, they say they thought it was a taser. A taser is not even shaped totally like a gun would be shaped. I mean, this has been going on so many hundred years that about black people, I see black individuals that on Facebook say, I'm the mother of a black son. And because they know it's almost like your child is in danger for being born black. White America can't see it, because if the shoe was on their feet, then they could feel how bad our feet hurt. But they don't have to worry about if their child go out, the police would kill them. They don't have to worry. They could turn around and ask the police why they're being arrested. Mostly all your mass murderers and all these other guys do the killing, they take them in alive. Yeah, the black man, he don't have a gun. He haven't killed 5 people, 9. He haven't killed a lot of different individuals. But they kill him when they find him. I mean, it's time for this to come to an end. It is for a time for it to come to an end. And I want to say this, and I want you to very, very let this marinate in your brain. I don't believe that they're riding, they burned the other night in Minnesota. I feel like John Lewis, I'm a Martin Luther King activist. I don't believe in the violence, and although violence by whites have been perpetrated against me and things like that. So I know how it is when you have that interaction with white policemen, and being black and being a product of the South of the 70s and part of the 60s as a juvenile, and how I was treated and how I was treated in the 70s. And even up into the 80s, the disrespect. If you say something, how they talk to you and how you're going to be beat. And I want to say this. We always say it about the South. But if you look at the things that are happening, they're all over America. New York, I don't care where you go, Philly, Ohio, Florida, wherever you go, California, Seattle, blacks will be in Minnesota, Illinois, you go to Michigan. Blacks are being mistreated all over. You go to Colorado, Arizona, Texas. I mean, my gracious, my goodness. We are being just, it's things that like Will Smith said that racism is not getting bad, racism not getting worse. It's just being filmed now. In essence, he was saying it never changed. It's just the fact now we have cell phone and other manners which we can video just what the police are doing. Before that, they didn't have the invention of a cell phone where you could video the police interaction with the African-American community. Although you have these videos, it still does not do any good. Because you're going to go before a white jury, and they don't care. I mean, I just have to be truthful. The majority of them do not care whether you're innocent. They're going to say, find fault with you, because they have been brainwashed and trained that they're better than you. That's called a racist. A racist is when one race or one ethnic group think that they are superior in another is inferior, and that is so far from the truth. God only made one kind, and that's mankind. Now, when I was talking about the voter suppression, the Voting Rights Act was all started way back in 1865. It was voted in. By 1890, we had blacks in the South was all through Congress. But in 1890, that was in 1890. But listen what they did to suppress the votes back then. They put a literacy test up in 1890, and they start coming up with things so the whole blacks from voting. Can you imagine you're going to give a literacy test to the very same people that you wouldn't give schools to? You didn't allow them to learn to read or write. If they were caught with books, you would kill them. Then if they had a poll, they had to go to the vote. The Klan was on the street. So you've been doing this all the time to us with the voter suppression, maybe in another manner, but it's still the same thing. Now you're about the early voting, and it's shortened, and the photo IDs, the mobile votings are cut out where you could go to these areas where blacks without transportation could get the vote. The mail-in ballots, there are fewer mail-in ballots and drop-off boxes. You know, the right to vote then, after they did that, the literacy test, and part of the literacy test, you know, they would have a big jar and put marbles in it, and the test was for blacks. Now, white folk didn't have to do it, but the black person had to tell them how many marbles was in that jar. That sounds like a lie. You could really, really look that up, how many marbles was in a jar. And then the next thing was after the federal government came down on them about that, they passed what you call a poll tax. But that might sound somewhere you pay a little money and go and vote. But what they would do would equate to what a sharecropper would make in almost 2 months. It's almost like you starve for 2 months to get the right to vote. Schools wasn't that prevalent in the 1800s even. After slavery. And then, to be totally honest with you, the Civil Rights Bill was passed while Martin Luther King was alive in 1964, but it wasn't enacted until 1974. And if you do the math, that's 47 years. That's 47 years. So wait a minute. I'm confused. How can we catch up if the Civil Rights Act was really put in action in 1974? You got people with a 400-year jump on you, but they tell you to catch up, and then you have systemic racism, Jim Crow, all these things that you have to fight against. It's very improbable that you could ever catch up. And the suffering and things that we've been through. So I just wanted to touch on that, a little of that before I go in. And just think about it. You have to teach your child what to say to a police. The rights that other people have and how they talk to them is not the same rights that you would have. A white kid could ask the police why he's being stopped and go into other means, but African-American child cannot do it. If he do it, he's resisting an officer. He will be shoved around in the response. Before I go any further again, I said that I made a statement and I didn't go all the way through with it. I'm a Martin Luther King activist. I love everybody. I don't believe in violence. I don't believe in looting or burning. But I will tell you, like John Lewis said, when they asked him about the protesters when George Floyd died that were looting and burning, he said he did not believe in that. He said he didn't believe in that kind of stuff, but he said that if there were no people getting killed, blacks being killed, if it wasn't no blacks being killed, if it wasn't any civil injustice going on, there was never no riot. Blacks don't riot because they just do it out of clear blue. It's only when you understand that you kill us for hundreds of years and nothing is ever done about it. So the next time a white person try to tell you about the looting and everything, tell them it's just a way that some blacks, not all, because I don't believe in it, is a means that blacks use to get your attention, because we've been fighting for civil rights for hundreds of years and nothing ever can't come about it. You know, you say a peaceful demonstration. Well, then if it's a peaceful demonstration, everything go on the same as it went yesterday. And that's what that's true when he said, if you think about it, when there were riots, something was going wrong. Blacks were being mistreated. If somebody was killed, or there was some civil rights violation, then blacks would march and they'd protest, and that sometime it end up would be a rioting and burning. But it never happens when everything is just being people being treated fair. And right now, it's time for white folk that claim that they are Christian, who are not Christian, because America is by far and away a Christian nation. And all men are not created equal, and we're endowed by our own creator with certain inalienable rights. Among those rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That does not relate to African American when it was written. African American were slaves. So it never really meant to you. The same people, Thomas Jefferson and many others that were right there, and I call our founding father Jefferson and talking about Washington, the first president, George Washington. George Washington had slaves. Jefferson had slaves, and the woman he was in love with was a slave. She had more children for him than he had by his wife, Sarah Hemings. But nonetheless, we're going to go into it because I've been under the impression that it's far too long. White folks have wrote books, and they've turned everybody from the Bible to history, from Egyptology and everything. They changed people from being dark-skinned to white. Everybody in the Bible, whether it's Adam and Eve, whether it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, whether it's David or Joshua, whether it's the prophet, Elijah, or whoever you want, Isaiah, whether it's the apostle, whether it's Peter, Paul, whether it's Paul, you know, Matthew, everybody's white, nobody's black, but for some odd reason, and some true reason, and it was a lie, for some true reason, whites didn't live in that area at that time. Now you have a few of them that live in there now, but whites were not indigenous there and did not live there during the Old Testament time, nor the time of Jesus. So, and that's wrong, and it's not being taught. They will tell you that Ham is the progenitor of the dark race and tell you that Egypt was formed by Ham and that there were black people. But then when they figure out they made the pyramids about 6,000 years ago, and they're 44 stories high and with no cranes or other machinery to do it, they don't know how to do them. So blacks won't have this thing about their ingenuity. So what they do is paint everybody white. But now we're going to look at something, because this is stuff that we really need to know, because we have a rich history that started so many years before slavery time. In America, we're only taught a lie in history, and it's time that white folk quit lying to themselves. It's time that white folk quit lying to their children. It's time that white folk quit lying to themselves. It's time that the media, which is run by Caucasian, quit lying. It's time that we rewrite those history books and the books that are being taught to our children in school. Those same very books that help brainwash our children. It's time for us to get them pulled off the shelf. But first, I've always, every program, I like to go back to the beginning, the origin of man, because it is impossible. Neanderthal is not, that's white people in Europe. Look like cavemen with a funny forehead, big head, funny forehead guy. But they were not the original human. They were only a mutation from a human. They were a variant of the original race of man, meaning that they end up going through a mutation or variant and came out with something that looked different. Now it's important that we understand, and I'm going to equate this with the Bible too, but first it's important that we understand that whenever our anthropology, you know, we know anthropologists is studying the origin of man, and we know all these things, and we know that. But, well, you know, you got paleontology, you got, and so it got different portions of it. You know, archaeology, you find the artifacts and they excavate old ancient cities. But many years ago, they started trying to find out where did humankind originate from. And when they're looking for it, they don't go into Asia, anywhere else, America. They don't go to Europe. When they want to find out where did man originate from, and I'm going to explain to you why they know man originated from there. They go to Africa. They like to deal around sub-Saharan Africa. Now, I want you to understand that the oldest fossil that's been found there is called of this black lady. Her name, they call her Lucy Australopithecus. And they found this fossil skeleton that was found in Ethiopia, in the southern parts of Ethiopia, in 1974. And it was this little small lady that they found. And they named her Lucy, because in 1974, the Beatles' hit record was called Lucy. And this fossil, Australopithecus, who they call Lucy, was found by Don Johansson and Palm Gray. Now, they were looking for rocks, but they came upon this fossil remain of Lucy. Now, I want you to understand that they date Lucy back to 3.18 million years. So that's 3,180,000 years ago that Lucy walked the earth. And so they didn't look for anything like that. And they also had some other paleontologists and others that were there, that other anthropologists that were there in Africa, and these were Britain, so some of them were like paleontologists, really. And they discovered the first fossil proconsul skull of an extinct ape, which is now some people try to believe that this ape was an ancestor to human. But also, and now that was Louis Leakey and his wife, Mary Douglas Leakey. Now, she also discovered a robust, what they call Zanzanthropus skull, in the O.D. Garden, Tanzania. And Zanzanthropus, I mean, it just talks about being Northeast Africa. That's what it's talking about. Was really found in Tanzania, in East Africa. And, you know, Professor Leakey, you know, we found several things. And then they were doing this archaeological and anthropological discoveries were made. Fossils of ancestors of apes and of humans were found. that date back millions of years. But now, while excavating in the Old Deep Gorge in Africa in 1960, that's when they found it, Louis Leakey. Now, Louis Leakey was a British civil citizen, but he was born in Kenya. He was a white guy. He was born, but he and his wife worked there for the longest, and they found it. But what was ironic about the find, they found out these people millions of years ago was able to make arrowheads and different other tools to work with. So now they banned people in Africa, and I want you to understand, if you live around, anybody live around the equator is dark skin, point blank, just that just it. But now they have this thing that's being taught by anthropologists, was being taught by the anthropologists called Out of Africa. But before I deal with being out of Africa, we're going to go a little bit further. And I'm going to show you something, and I'm going to explain something to you why I know that the original man was a black man. Okay. Now, they have what you call, when you start looking and finding different fossils, you want to extract DNA from them. And our DNA could trace back how we look, who we are, and things like that. So that when you look at your DNA, that's what your DNA could tell you about your parents, you know, and they have DNA diagnostics, Ancestry.com, and you'll find out, especially if you're African-American like myself, you'll find out you have white relatives, because you know that white men rape the slave women. And you'll find out who you have cousins that you don't know, because when they do the DNA, they find out that you have DNA matches. Now, nevertheless, they say, now this goes for everyone today. If we trace back the DNA in a maternal, that's maternally inherited mitochondria, our mitochondrial DNA within our cells, all human have the theoretical common ancestors. All of us came from theoretically the same person. Now, this woman that we have the same common ancestor was a woman known as Mitochondria Eve, like Eve of the Bible. They call her Mitochondria Eve. And now they say she lived right at about 200,000 years ago in South Africa. She was not the first woman, but every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring, failing to pass on the mitochondrial DNA. And as a result, all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to her. Now, this says within her DNA and that of her peers exists all the genetic variation we see in contemporary humans since Eve's time. And they say everybody living today carried this black lady from Africa DNA. That's what they say, contemporary, today's human. Carry her DNA. Now, different populations of humans, you know, have drifted apart and genetically and forming distinct ethnic groups that we see today. But we all carry that marker from her, that mitochondrial DNA that she passed on is in the Chinese, the Japanese. It's in the Vietnamese, it's in the Saudi Arabians, it's in the Germans, it's in the Britons, it's in Native Americans, it's in Brazil. Everywhere you go, the Polynesian, New Guinea people, it's in everyone. Now to show you something also about this, now, if we all carry her DNA, don't you know white folk don't want you to pretend that you know that they know they're part of you, that they're just you can say a lower form of you. And I explain that to you what I mean by that. Now that was a man who died about 315 years before the birth of Christ in South Africa. This man is the closest relative yet known to humanity common to the female ancestry of mitochondria Eve. They know that this man had to be a fisherman by something about a fisherman here, and he's the closest genetic match to her. So they know that everything started in Africa. Now, where they found his fossil remains is called St. Helen Bay. St. Helen Bay is located in South Africa, and this skeletal remain was found by an archaeologist, and his name was Andrew Smith, and he did this out of the University of Cape Town. You know, the first ancestor human from Southern South Africa, which even today is known the cradle of civilization. Now, I know you say, well, nah, the Bible says different from that. But now the Bible do tell you that life originated in Africa. And I'm going to read something to you about what the Bible says. I'm going to say this to you, and I want you to look up, because this is in the second chapter of Genesis. Now, the Bible talks about them making the what the Bible was saying about the where the Garden of Eden was found at. And when it talks about the Garden of Eden, the Bible deals with the location of the Garden of Eden. And it talks about the how it started off, about the Garden of Eden started off, and it said, in the garden, there was one river, but it divided into four river heads. When you're dealing with this, you will find out exactly what we're talking about. Now, it's important that we understand that Africa is bordered by the north of the Mediterranean Sea and the south by, and the Mediterranean Sea in the north and the Red Sea to the east of the Gulf of Eden and the Indian Ocean. Now, the Pishon River, what they say, now listen at this, one of the rivers that they said was encompassing the garden, and they say the Pishon River that encompassed the whole land of Havilah, Somaliland, Somalia, could not have been located in Iraq, neither could the Gihon River, the Nile River, which the Bible says encompassed the whole land of Ethiopia. You know where Ethiopia is, and you know where Somalia is. Now, the Bible tells you, now, this is one of the two of the rivers that encompassed the Garden of Eden. Now, the Gihon River is the Nile River, which the Bible says encompassed the land of Ethiopia. To the east of Ethiopia is Somalia, and to the north is the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. To the east is Somalia, is the Indian Ocean. Through the study of the World Atlas, I found that the garden would have been located somewhere in the area of Ethiopia and Somalia. The word encompass that they use in the Bible is used both for the Pishon River and the Gihon. Each one encompassed Havilah, encompassed modern-day Somalia, and encompassed the other is Ethiopia, both which are in Africa. The Gihon is now called the Nile. Webster Dictionary defines the word encompass as enclosing line or limits of the area or perimeter. Passing around. Now, if you live in a place like in New Orleans, Louisiana, they call it the Crescent City, like a sea, because that's how the Mississippi River passed around them, and that's when they say it encompassed, it goes around. To view this in retrospect, the Gihon River, which encompassed Ethiopia, is the present-day Nile. The Pishon, which encompassed the country of Havilah, present-day Somalia, are both in northeastern Africa. Notice why what I say, Zanthropus and Australopithecus, both of those, the earliest fossil of man was found in that area, northeast Africa. And that's why, that's what I'm trying to tell you. When you do the research, find out what it means. Find out what these mean. And they say the Pishon River, which encompasses the land of Havilah, present-day Somalia, are both in the northeastern Africa. Now we must consider the remaining river, the Hidika and the Euphrates, before we seriously examine the role these two rivers play. Let's look again. Now, this is something I had to write with my, when I was getting my master's for my dissertation, to find out about the African presence in the Bible. The two rivers played, let's look again at the first two. In Genesis 2 and 10 tells us a river went out to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became into four heads, which this can be established. Two parts. One river went out to water the garden. One river parted and became four rivers. The first river is the Pishon. And we just talked about the Pishon River and the Gihon River. We talked about how it encompassed Ethiopia and how it encompassed the land of Somalia. That which encompassed the whole land, and let's tell you, it encompassed the whole land of Havilah. Established that Havilah during this period covered the land that is now including the portion of northeast Egypt, northeast Sudan, Djibouti. During this period, I believe it extends southward through portions of northern Ethiopia and eastern Sudan. This would mean that the Pishon flowed in the easterly direction toward the present-day Red Sea, Arabia. The name of the second river is the Gihon. The same is the one that encompassed the whole land of Ethiopia. We established that this is the Nile with its northern flow through present-day Egypt. I believe during the period, Ethiopia encompassed part of the Sudan. And now I found out later that the Sudan, the northern portion of the Sudan were mainly the real Ethiopians and the present-day Egypt. This land was called Cush. And the latter, which is Egypt, was called Metherim. Cush's brother who settled present-day Egypt, which bear his name, which means black. We're talking about Kemites. Now, let's look at the last two rivers. The third river, which is the Hidika, which have been identified as present-day Tigris River. Though, who makes this assumption? I don't believe an error. Let's look at Genesis 2 and 14, which says, and the name of the third river is the Hidika. That is it which goes toward the east of Assyria. This tells me that the river flowed in an easterly direction. The Tigris, which is the eastern of the Assyria, flowed parallel with the Euphrates today. Before meeting Euphrates, it flowed towards the south or the north. Thus, it cannot be the Hidika River that's in Iraq today. I believe this river ran toward the east of Assyria, ran toward and merged with the Euphrates. In later parts of Genesis, Moses tells us only the fourth river is the Euphrates. As I look at this picture, I see one river parting and becoming four. One river forming a southern boundary and flowing toward this river is the Pishon. This river could be lost, but I believe a portion still exists today, though its original flow changed or was cut off. It is called a Bantu. It connects with the Nile and the northeast Sudan and flows south toward the eastern, toward the Red Sea. And the second is the Gihon. We establish it as the present-day Nile. Its northerly flow formed a western boundary to the garden. The third is the Hidika River. And the reason I wanted you to to formulate this to you was to show you that things that's in your Bible do match. That what when they go and find those fossils of early man, and we say God made the Garden of Eden, And we said, well, no, it was in right around the rock way to the Euphrates River. But if you look up the Gishon or the Pishon, you'll find out that those are African rivers. And you find out that everyone, even to this day, know it's the cradle of civilization. So there is something, and I want you to understand this very well. It's different things are being not told to you. You are so used to letting white folk tell you what the Bible says and every angel white and everybody's white. And don't you know, if you would just read, and I'm going to go back and finish explaining some, but since we're on this little subject matter of the Bible part, don't you know that in Genesis, the 11th chapter, they had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, the people said that Ham is the progenitor of the dark race or the African race. Now, that's what the progenitor means, the father of. And today, they said that he's the progenitor of the dark race. He said the Egyptian, the Ethiopian, the Libyan, and then he said, and Canaan. So now that's been established that he's an Egyptian. So now all of these parts are from the northern part of that. But in that 11th chapter, he had a brother named Japheth. J-A-P-T-H-E-T, Japheth. Japheth. He left out of the Bible in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis and went up north. That's during the Tower of Babel. Never to come back in the Bible until about a couple hundred years before Christ. So if you're looking at before Abraham and all after Abraham and all that coming up, you don't have the white race in the Bible. But for some strange reason, everything is white. And then I did another little study, and I'm going to go back into the origin of man. I did another study in writing. I wanted to know where Abraham came from about 5,000 years ago. And they said he came from Ur, the Chaldees of Mesopotamia. But when I went back 5,000 years ago, it was inhabited by some people called Sumerians. So I simply asked the question, what color was the Sumerians? And it came back that they were chocolate with stoop noses. Stoop means thick or wide noses. Who is the color of a chocolate, and who has the wide nose? Nothing but African Americans or African. But now I found out that blacks were Semitic people, and that's who Hebrews are, Semitic people. Whenever you get a chance, It would behoove you to look up the definition of Ham in the Bible, in Zondervan Bible Dictionary. Look up the definition of Ham, and I'm going to tell you what it's going to tell you, but I want you to look it up. Zondervan Bible Dictionary definition of Ham. Zondervan, Zondervan. Bible Dictionary definition of Ham, H-A-M. And I'm going to tell you what it's going to tell you, and I want you for the page to understand what it's talking about. Now, they're going to define Ham as the progenitor, that they're going to say he is the youngest son of, this is the way it starts out, Ham is the youngest son of Noah, that he was about 96 during the time of the flood, the great flood. And he is one of the eight that lived through the flood. And then they go on and they tell you he's the progenitor of the dark race, the Ethiopian, the Egyptian, the Libyan, and the Canaanites, or the African race. Now, but the part what gets to me, he said, but not of the Negroes. If Japheth went back into Europe and he's the father of these dark race, He said there is another dark race, but Ham is not the father of them. And they called Negroes. We were first called colored folk. Then they called us Negroes. And then when I was real little, they called us Negroes. Then it went from colored to Negroes. From Negroes, we came James Brown, I'm black and I'm proud. And then from that, now we're African-American. They've always called, and don't you know the word Negro, it means black. It's a Spanish word, negre. And if you could go to Puerto Rico and other places, and they'll say those terms, but almost everything is negre. It means black. It's important. It's important that you understand that. And it says that he is not the progenitor of the Negroes. And blacks have said for so long that they are, that always have said it. And I know for a fact that the Israelites were black. They were not white. That they didn't come from Europe. But now let me finish explaining something to you. And I guess you say, well, if we all came from Africa, what happened? What happened to us if we came from Africa? What happened? They got white people, they got black people, and why we look so different? We can't be what you call. So now I go to what they call. I talk about anthropology. And I told you about the anthropology, the discovery and the origin of man, and that man came from Northeast Africa and Sub-Saharan Africa. I told you about Lucy. I told you about mitochondria, Eve. And we discussed these things, and we focused on them because this is the origin of the original man. Go back millions of years in Africa. You can't find fossils old like this anywhere else. But there's a guy, he's called, everything that we live by and all the things that we inherited from who we are. I don't care who the first man that ever lived, walked this earth, the origin of mankind. I have some of his person DNA in me, which I inherited. The same that I have in me, white folk, Chinese have it. All of us also have some mitochondria DNA from the lady named Mitochondria Eve, all of us. But now there's a man named Gregor Mendel. And I want you to understand that Mendel is the father of genetics. And now genetics involve inheritance, involving passing on discrete units of inheritance. Or what we call genes from our parents, that passed our gene from your mother and father is passed on from mother and father to son or to daughter. And these are traits and other things that we pass on. Now, I want you to understand something that Mendel said. Mendel did a study on plants, and then he did some on animals. But what Mendel came up with black and brown genes were dominant genes. He came up with white genes, light genes were recessive. Now, I want you to look up the term dominant and the term recessive. Dominant means to be superior. Recessive means to be below, lower. And they say blue eyes come from a recessive gene. Brown eyes come from a dominant gene. And he also says, this is something, he says, and I'm going to explain it to you. You could get the recessive from the dominant. You could take two Bs, which is dominant, the brown and the black. You could take two of them together and come up with something white or light with a recessive gene. But you can't take two As, which is a recessive gene, and come up with something that's black or brown. And case in point, I could go to the darkest people on the earth right now come from not all the people that live in the Sudan, but there's a certain tribal group of people in the Sudan are the darkest people on earth. Where you could have two of the darkest people on earth could have a child, and that child could come out and be albino. But you cannot find two whites from Nova Scotia or from Sweden or Norway and come up with a black child. See, you could get the recessive, you could get the two dominants could come up with a recessive, but two recessive genes can't come up with a dominant. You could get the dominant from the recessive, but you can't get the recessive from the dominant. In other words, that your dark skin was dominant because that's what the most of the people in the world are dark skinned. And you might say, well, what do you mean? Because you live in America and blacks are the minority. But in this whole world, is 7.5 to 7.9 billion people. Only 11% of the population is white. You heard what I say? Only 11%. So you're looking at about 850 million white people in the entire world. Out of 7.5 to 7.9 billion, only 850 million are white. Now, when you put all this together, it's only 8.5 people. And when you count this up, it's 11%. There are few white people in the world than there are black. There are 1.2 billion. There are 1.2 billion Africans that live on the African continent. There are 1.2 billion just on the African continent. But then you have another 48 million people of African descent that were slaves that live in the Caribbean or the Caribbean. Then you got close to 50 million live in America. That's over 100 million. Then you got 1 million blacks live in Canada. You got 1.5 million live in Mexico. You got over 15 million live in Brazil. You got 400,000 that live in Australia. You got 159,000 live in Argentina. You got 8 million live in Europe. So you're looking about 1.3 billion, or 1,300,000 people that are come from the African continent. So it's so many more Africans or black people in the world than whites. So they came from you, and all the other races came from you. And you can look this up yourself. His name is Gregoire Mendel. And out of Africa occurred 70,000 years ago. It said that people left out of Africa that were black. They left from right around the equator, and they went up to what they call Eurasia, and that's around Euphrates River, and that's on the other side around Saudi Arabia and other places. The people got a little lighter, but if the truth be told, you could go to Africa, different portions of Africa, where whites have never bred with blacks, and you find brown-skinned African. You find African, and all Africans don't have wide nose. If you go on the eastern coast of Africa, so many of those people have pointed nose and dark, very dark skin, and have pointed nose. So that's not one thing that you go by, the hair texture or the color, for a person to say that a person is or not African. So because they come in all complexions and things like that. So it's things that you have to, at time that we study. But what Mendel was saying was that when they left out, that they stopped first in Eurasia, and that's over in the Middle East, and then 40,000 years later, they went to Europe. And when they went to Europe, they went through what you call a mutation. And that's how the colors change. Now, the mutation is simply, if you look up the definition of a mutation, it is the change of the structure of genes resulting in a variant form of that may be transmitted to subsequent generations. Now you've heard them talk about a variant. You talk about COVID-19 variant. You got a United Kingdom and you got a South Africa. It's just a little different. So when whites went up into Europe, the structure of their gene, because of the weather, the climate, and other things, that caused them to go and to transmit to a subsequent generation different type thing. And this is how they say it's called. Caused by, the alteration of a single base unit in DNA or depletion of a DNA or insertion or rearrangement of a large section of genes. A mutation is ultimately the only way in which new variants enter to a species. That's the only way that you could get a difference in the way that people look and things like that is by a mutation. And they went through it. They don't have melanin. Just about all the other races and all the other not races, because it's not a race. Everybody is anthros. Everybody is mankind, okay? We separated black, white, Asian, and all this. We all made in the image of God and in his likeness. So God made us all one. We have the same blood types, and heart, lung, every parts are the same. But man is so racist and bigoted that we do things like that. See, after modern humans established themselves, after they left in Africa, smaller groups populated and branches that they went out, when they went out of Africa, they established foothold in Asia before spreading to Eastern Europe and reaching even to the Americans. And all in the islands, you'll find that they're there. And blacks always could travel by boat. Now, Mendel's law talks about the law of independent assortments, and that just talks about independent assortment, that if you sort out people and you move some people all the way up to the North Pole and you start putting people right at the equator, the people at the equator, and you could take whites and put some whites living right on the equator and some at the North Pole. The whites that live there are the blacks, or even blacks you could put up there. From the sun not shining and being what you call them, they'll go through a mutation, they'll change. If you ever notice that if you have a fox and a fox lives in Alaska or in the North Pole, he's white. But down in the South in different areas, they are, unless they are albino. Now, I want to tell you something. We've always talked about albino. Now, albino, if you have a horse, he got kind of red leg eye, but he's white horse. He's albino. If you find a white catfish, he's albino. A white tiger, he's albino. Anything white you find, that person is called an albino, okay? That thing is albino. But for some reason, white folk will not call themselves albino. White tiger, white whatever, are albinos. Everything white they call albino. In Louisiana, they got albino alligators there because they're white. And that is a lack of melanin. And it's a saying today, I'm proud of melanin, melanin strong. I mean, and if you know why people are now, black scientists are helping black people, that their melanin in their system means something. That's why whites go to the suntanning booth. They want to look like you. You are the original man. They want to go back to looking like you. They want the big lip. They want the full backside. They want to get the dark complexion because they know who you are. But do you know who you are? Then they got the law of dominance. Whatever race is in a certain area, it's the law of dominance. That's how most of the people are going to look. And it's called then it's a law of segregation. When people just move only one separate group, like in China, and mostly all the people are going to look like China with certain type eyes because they're separate. And so the law of dominance kick in because they went to segregation. If you go to Japan, most of the Japanese, they're going to look alike because they didn't have other races, not races, but other ethnic groups there. And so they went through that. But I want to say this. If you go to a horse race, you're going to find out at the Kentucky Derby, white horses don't run. They don't calculate or count a white horse as being a thoroughbred or purebred horse. It has to be a brown or black horse that's going to be a thoroughbred, and that's because they understand the principle of the origin of evolution. Now, I want us to say this, and blacks have always been in America, okay? And I want to say two things. Blacks, there's no such thing in the Bible where a black man ever was cursed. You can look from the first of Genesis to the 21st or 22nd book chapters in Revelation. But now I can show you in a book in the Bible in 2 Kings 5:27 where a person was cursed to be turned white. And it's in 2 Kings 5:27. Naaman leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. It's called, and it's because Jehoshaphat went away and his skin was leper white. He had become white as snow. Now, he didn't curse him to be a leper, but he cursed him to be leper white. And it said all of his descendants would be leper white, were cursed to be leper white. So, no, there's no place in the Bible where a person was cursed to be white. But you can find a person being cursed to be white. Now, I wanted to say that and things like that. Now, I want to let you know, we jump into the King James Bible, but the King James had Pope Nicholas VI decide the referendum for slavery. The referendum for slavery. And I want you to know, too, that white folk wasn't always called white. They started calling themselves white around 1680 or 1681. Everybody was called, either you was from African, or either you was from Europe, or you was from some other part of the world. You was a European, or you were a Japanese, you was a Chinese. But all of a sudden, they get to America in 1681, they start calling themselves the white man. And that wasn't nothing but supremacy, that they would be over the indigenous people. Now, I want you to, when you get an opportunity, I want you, next week I'll give you the names of some people I want you to look up. But I want you to look up like the Olmec people, because this deals with the Americas, OL-MEC, Olmec people. And some of the Olmec people was in here 1,200 years before Christ, almost, you could date it almost back to the time of Moses, was in Mexico and what they call Mesoamerica. In southern parts of America, and you know they had to travel up and also find out why they said that an Indian, a real Native American, was the color of a copper penny, copper like an Indian. And whenever you get a penny, take that penny and put it by your skin color and see how the original Indians or Native Americans look when white folk come. That's why they call them pale face. They didn't have color. Okay, now the Olmec people left colossal heads, meaning big old stone heads, the large basalt boulders. And some of them were like 14 foot tall. Some of them were like 9 feet tall, you know, almost tall as houses. They left structures, and you should see how wide and broad the noses are. You know they're a brother by the nose and how big the lips. And some of them were taken way back to 900 years ago. The Olmec civilization is a civilization of ancient Mesoamerica. Some are in Mexico, La Ventes, San Lorenzo, Tabasco, Veracruz, Mexico. And they say 17 heads have been found or discovered to this day. 10 of them are in San Lorenzo, and 4 of them are in La Vita. And so it's important we understand that blacks been everywhere They I just found out they were trying to find out New Guinea, Papua New Guinea. How did they get that? They found out that the Papua New Guinean was who populated Puerto Rico. They were in Puerto Rico. They were the first in Puerto Rico and even to Hawaiian Island, those islands going out there to Hawaii. So when they took the people DNA, they found out that these people in the islands of the Pacific were carrying the DNA of the people from Papua New Guinea, and they're black. So it's incumbent upon us to learn of ourselves. I would tell you, learn to pick up your book. White folks are not going to tell you about yourself. They want you to always feel inferior. If you take away, and if you get a chance to look up the inventions that the Native Americans made, then compare that with the inventions that African Americans or blacks invented. You'll want to know, well, what did white people do? You'll find out that they did very little for America. But the lies that they've perpetrated and the things that they've stole have been going on for hundreds of years, centuries. Amen. I'm going to take just that time. I get going, and sometimes I go a little too long, and I know you get tired of just hearing me run off by the mouth. And if there's any questions, or it's Q&A time, any question you'd like to ask, if I have that knowledge, I will share with you. God bless you. The phone lines are open.
God bless you, everyone. The lines is open. Thank you, Pastor Kim, for a wonderful show. The phone lines are open. God bless you. Welcome to the show. Okay, Pastor, I guess they don't have any questions. I hear them, but they're there. So no one is asking questions. So back over to you, sir.
Okay, I'd just like to say I thank each and every one who did listen in tonight, and I just pray that I was a blessing and brought some form of enlightenment upon who you are, and I pray that some Caucasian were listening for the hit of truth, because you've been lied to for so long to keep you feeling that weird that African Americans are inferior to you, but for a long shot, you don't understand. One of the first universities in the world was in Timbuktu in Africa, and it wasn't in Europe, and the tall skyscraper wasn't in Europe. The brick home, the stone and brick home was not in Europe. They came from Africa. So let us get these things straight. The iron and the different gold and the diamonds and things that were placed in different places for kings would deal with Africans, not in Europe first. You learned all these things from Africa, and I'm here to tell you. So I thank you, and I just say continue listening in, and God bless you.
Amen. Amen. All right, Dr. Kemp, thank you for History Talk on this Tuesday evening. Don't forget to join us tomorrow evening, 8 p.m. for Breaking Chains. We'll be back here on YET Radio. You've gotten your history, your Black History notes for tonight. Don't forget to your health tip is making sure that you exercise and stretch your body out every morning, every evening. Drink plenty of water. 64 ounces is the minimum that you put in your body on a daily basis. Eat your vegetables, eat your fruit. Cut back on all fried foods. Eliminate, at least go vegetarian at least one day out of the week, all right? We want you to be healthy physically, mentally, and most importantly, spiritually. Study your word of God to be pleasing in his eyes, and continue to pray. Scriptures say pray without ceasing, because the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, it does avail much. God bless you, and thank you. We'll see you tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Pastor Kemp, you can pray us out, sir.
I would like you to pray us out tonight. I have something that I need to attend to at this moment.
Okay.
So Pastor. God bless each and everyone who's on the radio and listening tonight. God bless you. Is my prayer. Good night.
Good night, Pastor. God bless you. God bless everybody for coming. Thank you very much. We'll see you back here next Tuesday. Let us pray. Most gracious and merciful Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we come to have the Holy Spirit to give you honor and the glory and the praise. We thank you tonight, Father God, for the gathering, for the unity, Father God, for the educational empowerment that came from Pastor Kemp. Lord God, continue to bless him and his family, Lord God. Father God, we ask you to watch over your people, Father God. Continue to open doors for them, Father God. Heal the sick, Father God. Watch over the spiritual dead, Lord God. Raise them back up, Father God. Let us continue to look towards you, Father God. Look towards the hill that's coming out. Help, we know it comes from you, O Lord. We thank you for every opportunity, Lord God. We thank you for every blessing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow evening, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. God bless you from the Breaking Chains family. We are YAT Radio. Good night. We love you. And ain't nothing you can do about it.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make through it all. No matter what the cost, we're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. People, I love you.
I love you.
We are dying.
We are dying.
They are lying. Hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be.
I'm just trying to be.
Play like a
bee. Great like a bee.
Grow with one another. Living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me.
Why
I am from Zion, I am a king, and you're a queen. We'll make it through it all, no matter what the cost. We're a family, yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. People, I love you.
I love you.
Why are we hurting?
Why are we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
to love the world? Oh. Can you feel the grace,
can
family?
You feel the grace,
breathe
family.
Another day.
Breathe
and
another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful
place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble by. People, I love you.
My people, I love.
I love you, my people. I love you,
my people,
people.
I feel your pain, people.
I feel your pain, people.
We're family.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, you and me.
Can you feel it all?
Oh.
We thank you for taking a listen this evening. You've been listening to History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp right here on Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Heard every Tuesday right here at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. YAT Radio logs on to leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence, teaching you about who you are and whose you are. It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday on YAT Radio, where we are breaking chains.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.